This question comes from Ed Schmidt in Alaska. He's asking about Berkshire's cash. He writes, where is that money held? All in treasury bills or notes? If so, what will happen in June when the biggest buyer, the Fed, quits buying? Where is all that money on the sidelines? Is it under the mattress we saw 2 years ago? I don't see how any significant amount of money can be in banks that aren't paying interest, corporate bonds that are risky and not paying much interest, or government bonds that seem less and less sound as each day passes.
Well, he's certainly right that all the choices are lousy for short-term money now. But we don't play around with short-term money. So we did not own commercial paper in 2008 before problems occurred. We did not own money market funds. When I say we didn't own them, there may be small amounts at various subsidiaries. But in terms of the big money, which we run out of Berkshire, we basically keep it in treasuries. And we get paid virtually nothing now for it. And that's irritating. But the last thing in the world we would do at Berkshire is to try and get 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 basis points more by going into some other things with this, with our short-term money. It is a parking place. It's an unattractive parking place, but it's a parking place where we know we'll get our car back when we want it. And you know, when we need, certainly the case in September of 2008, we had committed for some time to put $6.5 billion in Wrigley when the Mars-Wrigley deal occurred. And we certainly didn't contemplate at the time we made that commitment, which was probably in the summer, that the events would take place like they did in September. But we had the money. I knew I had to show up with $6.5 billion. I think it was on October 6th. And, you know, I had to show up. And I couldn't show up with a money market fund or some commercial paper or anything of the sort. I had to show up with cash. And virtually the only thing I feel good about in terms of having large amounts of ready cash is treasury bills. And that's where we've got, if you look at our March 31st statement, I think you'll see $38 million. And overwhelmingly, that will be in treasuries. Charlie?
Well, of course, I've watched a lot of people struggle who thought it was their duty in life to get an extra 10 basis points on the short-term money. I think it's really stupid to try and maximize returns on short-term money if you're in an opportunistic game the way we are, where we want to suddenly deploy money. Some of those pipelines we bought, they came for sale on Saturday and we had to close on Monday or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bought one. Fool around with some dubious instrument when we had sudden needs for money like that.
We bought one pipeline where the seller was worried about going bankrupt the following week. And there's a Hart-Scott-Rodino clearance required for the FTC, and they needed the money right away. And I wrote a letter, as I remember, to the FTC, and I said that we will do whatever you tell us to do later on. You can look at this all you want. We'll give you all the data you want. And if you tell us, you know, to unwind the deal, whatever you tell us, we will do. But these guys need the money. And so we closed it earlier. And our ability to come up with cash when people need it and when the rest of the world is petrified for some reason has enabled several deals to get done. And we don't know whether that could happen tomorrow. I mean, you know, if Ben Bernanke runs off to South America with Paris Hilton or something, I mean, who knows? Who knows what'll happen, you know? And we want to be able, at that moment, to have our check clear. So we figure we never know what tomorrow will bring. Although it won't bring that, I want to leave that off the transcribed part of the report. But we are, when somebody comes to us and they say, we need a deal right now, we need a deal right now, we can do it. And they know we can do it. And it can be big. It just has to be attractive. Okay, Area 10.